Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We've come now to verse 7 in our study of John's second epistle, a short letter, one chapter, 13 verses. The main body of the epistle only covers verses 4 through 11, and we've already covered the first three of those, verses 4, 5, and 6, and that has brought us, therefore, to what I think is obviously the main burden of the whole book, the reason why John wrote this epistle, which indeed is a book, but a short one. And his main concern was to warn the people of God about false teachers. And that's what we see in verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And so John wants his readers, the members of the church that he is writing to, and beyond that, since the Holy Spirit included this in our New Testament to all Christians, in all places, in every age, John wants us to be able to identify and avoid dangerous deceivers. But to do that, first of all, we've got to recognize that they exist. And then we've got to learn some things about them, which John is going to help us with here. I mentioned on the broadcast yesterday that it seems to me that this very important warning is not widely proclaimed throughout churches that claim to be Bible-believing churches today. Perhaps this is thought to be unnecessary. How entirely wrong and foolish that is. Perhaps this is thought to be too negative. Again, how entirely wrong and foolish that is. This is what we find in the Word of the Living God. And there are many things in the Bible that are positive, uplifting, encouraging, instructive, but there are many things that we might call negative that are warnings, that are rebukes, that are corrections, that are commands to not do certain things, and they are just as much a part of God's Word as are the parts that people find a little more user-friendly. And we're not commanded to be user-friendly. We're commanded to be stewards of the truth that God has given to us. Faithful stewards delivering what God has delivered to us, all of it, faithfully, not picking and choosing what we think will be most readily accepted and popular to our listeners. And so we move back into this warning on this Friday, May 3rd, and we do so because some of our radio listeners help us with the financial needs. What do I find in verse 7? And I'm going to give you the five elements that I've identified, and we'll look at them one by one. But we see, number one, a familiar warning. Number two, a clarifying connection. Third, a determined enemy. Fourth, a flawed theology. And fifth, a twofold identification. And all of this relating to the subject of false teachers. We looked at the familiar warning yesterday. That really is the opening of the verse. For many deceivers have gone out into the world. And we find this is not only a theme in this short epistle of 2 John, but it is a theme in the first epistle of John, but it is also a theme in Peter's second epistle and several of Paul's epistles, and even in the words of Christ. It is accurate to call this a familiar warning. There are many such warnings in the New Testament scriptures. Why do they get overlooked? Why do we not hear more about them? But beyond being a familiar warning, it is also a clarifying connection, because it starts with the word for, and that connects with what has gone before. For many deceivers have gone out into the world. And what does that connect to? Well, it connects with the importance of why we need to know the truth. John has emphasized truth, truth, truth. I rejoice because I found my children walking in truth. How important it is for you to walk in truth, and I'm glad you are walking in truth. And why is that so important, that you know the truth and walk in it? Because there are many deceivers who've gone out into the world. We can also connect it to the command to love. We are to love the brethren. I plead with you. I plead with you. Not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. We are commanded as believers to walk together in Christian love, to protect and strengthen strengthen one another in the truth. For, why? Because there are many deceivers that have gone out into the world. That makes it all the more important that we love one another and edify one another and strengthen one another, and help protect one another. And furthermore, this helps explain why we must allow God's commandments to define love. Do you remember that from verse 6? This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. Strange, interesting, we won't go back to that. But this is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. So, why must we allow God's commandments to define love? Because there are many false teachers, many deceivers that have gone out in the world. Christian love does not ignore or cancel truth. Christian love does not tolerate false teachers. Christian love is predicated upon obeying the commandments of God, and you need to know what they are and not be deceived about them. You need to know accurately what are the commandments of God, what are the teachings and doctrines of Scripture, as well as to know what are not, because you can't even understand and practice love properly unless it is based upon a proper understanding of truth. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, and if you get deceived, then it's not only going to affect your doctrine, your theology, your understanding of many things, it's going to affect the way you practice love. It'll corrupt that too. But moving from the clarifying connection, we come to a determined enemy. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. They are numerous. They are clever. They are knowledgeable. Many deceivers, John tells us, have gone out into the world. Not a few. Every word of Scripture is important. John doesn't say, now you need to be aware that there are a handful of deceivers that have gone out into the world, and it's possible that you may never come into contact with one, but just in case you do, there are a few out there, and it's possible that you might come into contact with one. And so I issue this portion of my epistle for those of you who might run into these, and probably the most of you will never have occasion to need this. Oh, no, that's not what John says. He doesn't say a few. He says many. Already in John's day, in the first century, within just a short time after the Lord Jesus Christ had gone back to heaven, already there were many deceivers had gone out into the world. If there were many in John's day, how many do you think there are in our day? Fewer or more? Well, I can assure you, dear friend, there are more today than there were then. They are numerous. They are numerous. It's possible that some neglect this warning because they consider this a small problem. But they're not listening, are they? They have already been deceived if they think that false teachers are a minor problem that don't really need attention, because John tells us just the opposite. This is a determined enemy, and of course the enemy behind the enemy is Satan himself, who prepares these false teachers and sends them out into the world, and primarily sends them out to infiltrate the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sends out an army. There are many. In the Old Testament, when we're dealing with the prophets, were there more false prophets or true prophets at any given time? Well, most of the time, the evidence would tell us that there were more false than there were true. Take the days of Elijah. How many true prophets? Well, there was Elijah, and then there were 50 that were hidden in one cave and 50 in another cave. So I suppose, from the evidence that's given to us, there were about 101 true prophets. How many prophets of Baal? 400. And another, if I recall, another 400 or 450 false prophets of another false god. And there were more than one. There were a number of false gods. So how many false prophets were there compared to the true prophets? A whole lot more. If the numbers that I just suggested to you indicate a ratio, the ratio was at least 8 to 1. 8 false to every true prophet of God. That's what you find in the Old Testament. Do you think it would be any different in the New Testament? Many deceivers have gone out into the world. Even in John's day, the indication is there are going to be more false than true. While John is alive and ministering, and the indication, therefore, is that in the day in which we live, in the 21st century, there are also more false teachers than true. Yes, and I'm talking about those who are accepted within at least certain segments of what is called Christianity, in certain segments of the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are more false teachers than true. There are many deceivers that have gone out into the world. They are numerous and they are clever. They are described here as deceivers. What is a deceiver? It's one who fools you. It's those who lead people astray and who deceive people into causing them to think that they represent truth. They represent God. They represent biblical Christianity. Some of you are being deceived right now by somebody, maybe by the pastor in your pulpit, maybe by somebody you're listening to on the radio or on television. You say, well, maybe it's you, Greg Barkman. Well, listen carefully and compare with what I say with Scripture, because that's what you're supposed to do. If I prove to be a false teacher, then tune me out. But if I'm telling you the truth, then you'd better listen to me, and you better realize that some of the other voices you're listening to are not reliable. In fact, it's worse than that. They are deceivers who are determined to destroy you if they can. They are numerous. They are clever. They're effective. And as we'll learn on the broadcast Monday, they are knowledgeable and they are committed. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.